Hallelujah. God is good. Raising your children for God. That's what we're going to talk about today. You know, open to 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel chapter 13. And we'll begin in verse 1. Let me just make a preliminary statement here. You know, David, David made his mistake with Bathsheba because he had not done what he was supposed to be doing. It was a time when the kings go to war. And David decided he wouldn't go, and he stopped and he looked, and then instead of walking away, he stayed around. You know, David, I'm sure David gave his sons and children, daughters, I'm sure he advised them. But you know, I've mentioned before, there's a song, "Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks." Any of you ever heard that? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks more than your talk talks. You know, David, what you got to do is you got to reach a happy medium, because David should have been off to war at that time. But you know, David probably spent so much time away and everything that he didn't take time to advise and correct his children properly. And we see that he did not, because of some of the things we'll talk about today. He did not correct his children properly. And, you know, maybe it was because, who knows, we don't know some of the reasons. But maybe he was just off fighting wars and everything. However, I want to say it this way. In our life, God is first. He gets first place in whatever it is. The second thing is your family. And anytime you let your job take you away from doing what's right with your family, you need to get everything balanced correctly again and do what's right if you want to give God honor and glory and praise with your life and with the life of your family. And David failed to do that. He did not keep his family and his work and everything in the correct balance. And the Word teaches us that. However, I say David didn't. You know, we didn't with our children. And however, we don't as adults now. You know, it's so easy to make promises that we don't keep. That's our talk-talking. I mean, our walk-talking. You know, you need to be in church Sunday morning. Sunday morning comes, and oh my, you know, my fingernail's split, and if I'm not careful, I'll make a tear in my nice-looking dress, so I better stay home until I can find some things to cut that off and fix it up, you know. Whatever it is, we find all kinds of excuses, and what they are, you know what an excuse is? An excuse is a reason stuffed with a lie. That's what an excuse is. It's a reason stuffed with a lie. You know, we can make all kinds of excuses and everything else for what we don't do. Let me just take a minute here. This was later. I'm going to say it now, though. You know, we make a lot of promises that we don't keep. And I think David probably fit in that category. He made promises he didn't keep. You know, in Africa, I repaired everything from TVs, computers, even automatic transmissions. I've taken them apart. Diesels, petrol engines, whatever it is, I've repaired them. Now, I don't think that I'm that smart, but God gave me an ability. And when I got to Africa, I felt like I owed it to all the missionaries to keep their stuff running. So because of that, I'd say, David, we'll go golfing next week on Thursday. Well, Wednesday night. Hey, Bob, you know, our washer's been broken for 2 weeks, and boy, we got a whole bunch of clothes. David, let's go next week. Next week, I come along and a pastor call. Hey, Bob, I got this problem up here at the church. I need your help. Son, we'll go next week. You know, I did not keep everything in balance the way my God would have wanted me to keep it in balance. Because my son is my family, and he should have had priority when I had made him a promise, well, not several weeks in a row, and I always found some excuse for not doing it. Hey, son, I love you. Yeah, Dad, it looks like you love me. You promised me these things, and yet you put everybody else in front of me. You know, it's real easy to do that, though, and we just have to get everything in order. Let's read this. And it came to pass in verse 1 of chapter 13 of 2 Samuel, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But, listen to this, Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Jonadab said unto him, "Lay down on thy bed and make thyself sick, and when thy father comes to see thee, say to him, I pray thee, let sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it needed at her hand." Amnon lay down and made himself sick. When the king was come to see him, Amnon said to the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand." And David said, sent home to Tamar, saying, "Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat." See, David went along with it. He did not know what was coming about, though. He didn't understand everything, and he had not seen the future. So when the son says, "Hey, let Tamar come," the dad agrees. Howbeit, when Tamar got there, Amnon would not hearken to her voice, being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. And then he hated her tremendously because of what had happened. But you know, Amnon, right here, we see something in this text. Verse 3. First part of it. Amnon had a friend. You know, when Doug was 3 years old, Mama, we lived in Jacksonville, Florida. And Doug come in from outside playing with his friend when he was 3 years old. And he said a couple of words that... Hey, kid, let's have a talk about this, you know. We put him in junior kindergarten. And because of that, when we moved to Springfield, Missouri, he was a little bit too young to start the first grade, but when they found out he had already had 3 years of kindergarten because they put him in school to get him out from his playmates that he was playing with, they let him start the first grade a little bit early. But, you know, Amnon had a friend. We need to look over what our kids are doing and who they're friends with. Look at David's friend, Jonathan. Jonathan came to him and helped him correctly in everything they did. And yet here we see Amnon had a friend. And this, you know, you may not agree with me, but here's what I believe. Amnon would not have done this to his sister if his friend had not made the suggestion to him. He had the wrong kind of friends, and we need to watch who our kids are friends with. Debbie, when she was 3 years old over in Kenya, she'd get out in the yard and play. And when she wanted something, she'd say, "Mom!" And outside, because there was probably 50 kids out there, we had a fence around our yard, and outside the fence, all her friends that were watching her, they'd come up to the fence, and when Debbie said, "Mom," outside the fence, "Mom, Mom, Mom, Mom," 50 times, you know, they'd just repeat it over and over. So, friends, you know, you need to pick the right kind of friends for your children to have. There is, in this lesson, we're going to see. Okay, we need to make resolutions. I don't mean New Year's resolutions because we never follow them. I don't know how many New Year's resolutions I've made. You know, I used to weigh 270 pounds, and when I did, I'd say, every year, my resolution, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. You know how long it lasted? Until New Year's meal was set on the table for me, and I sat down to eat, and then I decided I enjoyed eating more than I cared about whether I kept my resolution or not. You know, resolutions. However, a resolution, we need to set the right priorities. We need to resolve in our hearts what we are going to do. And they need to be the right priorities that we resolve. And we need to set the right example for our children. David didn't. And we also need to provide restraints for them. We need to restrain them from their sinful nature. And kids, you know, kids. We all have a sinful nature. It's not just kids. We need to restrain them from their outside influences. He had a friend. And then we need to teach them reliance. Reliance. We can rely on the person of God and we can rely on the Word of God. And a lot of times we don't keep up with that. There is a verse in 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Praise the Lord. My children walking in the truth. Every parent should wish the same thing. But, you know, for that to be said, for my children to walk in truth, don't come easy. It takes a lot of careful work and hard work. And giving our kids the place they deserve. You know, when I've had a lot of problems, I've made a lot of mistakes. I didn't keep a tally because they probably don't have enough books to put them all in right now. But you know, I've made mistakes and sometimes they've beaten me down. And that woman sitting back there, you know, one time I got down so low, and we was in Africa at the time, but I got beaten down pretty bad. And a lot of people tried to talk to me. But she was the only one that could pick me up and set me out, get my feet back under me properly again. We have a great responsibility to train our children, and you wives have a big responsibility to train us husbands, okay? One of the greatest responsibilities we have is to train our children, and one of the greatest responsibilities they have is to walk in a way that honors their parents. That's their responsibility to do that. You know, the time available for training is so short. You take, how long is a child in your home? Let's say 18 years probably. But of that day, 18 years, how many years is he going to listen to you and obey you? You know, this was dumb, stupid. I used to take my son, set him up on the top of the car and say, jump, trust me. I'm here, I'll catch you, trust me. And I always did, but it was dumb, and I wouldn't set my kid up like that again because there's too many things that could happen. You could make a mistake and wish you would never have done it. So, you know, we make a lot of dumb mistakes sometimes. David helped give Amnon access to Tamar, not realizing what the full intent was. So we need to make resolutions. But, you know, Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you would serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua stood up and he said, I don't care what you guys decide to do. Me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. If people would make a firm decision that we're going to do that. You know, when I stop and look at, when I look at people, when I look at all of us, every one of us, We find so many excuses to do what we want to do instead of doing what we're supposed to be doing in serving the Lord. You know, how can I say this? I was talking to my wife the other day. I told her, I said, honey, sometimes I feel guilty because some people could look at when my daughter was sick. She couldn't get out. Someone had to stay with her. Okay. It kind of looks like I'm using my daughter for an excuse not to go to church. And that's what I told her, you know. I have to be careful how I say it, or people can... I stayed home because my daughter couldn't come, and when one of us would stay home, and I used my phone and left it on vibrate, so if my wife called me that she needed me, I could hear it, and I could go home and help her with whatever the problem was. But, you know, was I making excuses for not being in church? And, you know, there's one thing about making excuses for not doing what God wants you to do. Have you ever thought about this, Adam? God can remove every excuse that you have for not serving Him. If my wife is hindering me from not serving God, God can take that excuse away. If I'm hindering her from not serving God, God can take this excuse away. We need to be careful of excuses that we use if we don't want God to remove those excuses from us so we can't use that anymore. And you know, I'll say this. The bottom line is, I don't feel guilty for staying home with my daughter those times I stayed. But at the same time, sometimes I do feel guilty for even saying anything about it because it looks like I'm using her as an excuse so that I didn't have to come to church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't remember a time, even after the surgeries, that I've used that as an excuse for not being here. I've been here. In fact, I think some of you wish I'd have stayed home when I had those things on the top of my head, those 30 staples sticking out. Doctor told me, said, if you think you'll grow someone out, put a patch on it, but if you don't think it will, it's better off without it. So I came to church with 30 staples sticking out the top of my head. You know, I'm going to go for surgery on Thursday in a couple of weeks. I'll have my arm in a sling, but I'll be here Sunday if nothing happens. If I think I'm only going to be there overnight. Can I have my arm in a sling just as good here as sitting at home watching TV? Amen. You know, why should I say, oh, Doc, I just got out of surgery. Oh, Doc, you know, he's going to fix my hammer toe, too. You know what he's going to do to my hammer toe? This is the only pair of shoes I can wear because that hammer toe sticks up so high if any of the others wears a blister on top of it. That's why I come to church, in fact, with sandals on a couple of times. In fact, let me think. Who was it? Yeah. Preacher's next to the oldest boy. He come up to me. He saw my toe. He said, what's wrong with your toe? I didn't mind. But that's that day I had sandals on. You know, he's going to fix that for me. He's going to cut it and fix it and glue it and hammer it and everything else. Hallelujah. You know, can I sit in here with my toe in a splint as easy as I can sit at home with it in a splint? You know, we like to make excuses, though, don't we? We need to set the right priorities. While it's true that kings need to go to battle, they need to be careful of off-balancing their priorities. Satan would love to take what's good and twist it into something that's bad. No career is worth losing your children to the devil over. No career is worth losing your children to the devil over. Children will, you know, hey, listen to this. Children will know what things or what pursuits hold the place of importance in a parent's life. They know what's important to you. I'm glad that I don't have any kids that you can talk to and ask, what's important to Mr. Stamper, huh? At least they can't tell you the truth. Well, they can tell you the truth, but they're not here to tell you the truth. Okay. Children know what's important. But you know what? Other people do too. Even here, you guys know what's important to me and what's not. My words that I speak here and the life I live walking around in front of you, they both speak to you. The things you see me doing, It speaks to you. The things I speak here, it speaks to you. But you know which one speaks the loudest? What you see me doing. That's what I said even the other day. I mentioned I didn't go to church on a carrier, and I should have gone. But I didn't go because the chaplain was sitting in a bar in Naples, Italy, with a girl on his lap drinking a beer. So I stopped going to church on the carrier. I'm not saying I was right, but I made an excuse not to go. Children will know what's important. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added. If parents put God first, children, if parents put God first, the children will see it, and it will influence their life. And you know, a child that's not disciplined doesn't necessarily feel like his parents love him as much, because every child needs discipline. And you know what? We're children. We need to be disciplined sometimes. And the pastor's there, and he can discipline us with his preaching. You know, he don't have to preach a sermon to me. He can preach God's Word, and it'll hit me where it needs to. We constantly waste our time with things that don't matter and are worthless. And we give a small part of our time to those things that really make a difference. We need to set the right example. How many times have I told my children, do as I do, don't do as I say? They see us doing something. This advice is not followed. The children will do as we do. We tell them, don't do as I do as I say. We can tell our children to go soul winning, but if they never see us pass out a gospel tract, what do you think they're going to be doing? We can tell our children church is important, and yet when it comes time to go to church, we find all kinds of excuses not to go. We can tell them not to smoke. They see us smoking. Let me say this. When I look at TV, I don't see how anyone can do this vaping or smoking, either one. It doesn't make sense. You know, okay, excuse me. If any of you's doing it, excuse me. I can't believe anyone can be that dumb to see what it's doing to them and still go about doing this vaping and stuff. So if I'm hitting you on the head with a 2x4, okay, I just did it. I really can't. I can't understand how anyone can do it. It doesn't make sense. God gave us a brain. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. David no doubt had told Ammon how he ought to live, but the affair that he had with Bathsheba spoke louder than his words did to Amnon. Amnon failed to follow David's good example, but followed his bad example. Matthew Henry said this. Matthew Henry. And you know who Matthew Henry? He wrote some commentaries. And here's what I'll say. His commentaries are very basic and simple, and you can't get very deep with them. However, you can get some basic understandings of things, and they are well worth your time. If you don't have a set, start with him, because they're easy to read, they're not that expensive, and they're easy to understand. Matthew Henry said, godly parents have often been afflicted. Let me start all over again. I read it right, but I want to emphasize it. Godly parents have often been afflicted with wicked children. And then Matthew Henry continued, grace does not run in the blood, but corruption runs in the blood. We do not find that David's children imitated him in his devotion, but they imitated him in his false steps. And in that, they did much worse than David did, and they repented not. Parents know not how fatal the consequences may be if in any instance they give their children bad examples. We don't know how bad or how far it might go when we give them bad examples to follow. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. You know, even right now, I know, we don't have an influence on our kids like that, most of us. But this can fit into us too, every one of us. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. How many of us can say that to our children or our friends or our family? Be followers of me as I am of Christ. You know, if we're saying that to our kids, are we really followers of Christ that we want them to follow after? Or would we probably say, be ye followers of Christ as our pastor is? Because we know we're not walking as close as we should be walking to them. Sometimes we may not want our kids to follow us. You know, Napoleon said this. One time he was asked, how do you make your army cross the Alps? Napoleon said, one does not make an army cross the Alps. One leads it across the Alps. And that's what we do with our children. We don't force them. We lead them in the way they should go. We don't drive them. We lead them. And if we're trying any other way, we're going about it wrong. Now, when I say children, I'm talking about other people that we're in contact with too. Our friends, our neighbors, our family, whoever it is. We need to lead. Provide restraint. Children have parents have a responsibility to provide restraints in the life of their children. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Parents must set the right priorities and the right examples, according to 1 Corinthians 2:14. Children often see restraints as barriers. You know, I'm sure, well, maybe not. I hope all of you have been to some place where they have mountains and you've driven up the mountains and it's a real steep drop off on one side. And they have big old 8x8 posts in the ground with 4x4s running long. And those are restraints to keep you from driving off the side of the mountain. Sometimes a child would look at that and they'd say, why don't you take those pieces of wood out of there so I can see the scenery out through there? And her parent says, oh no, those are restraints. I don't want them removed because I don't like going up this mountain anyhow. I get scared every time we go that it will fall off that outside. Restraints. Children don't like restraints. And you know what? We adults don't either. We don't like restraints. You know what? We were reading today. I think it must have been true. Some woman, honey, was that over in Daytona? She'd been ziplock tied to her steering wheel for 2 days. Did any of you here see that? I think maybe it was some other state. But the police finally found her, and she had tape around her mouth so she couldn't holler, and she was with those ziplocks tied to the steering wheel so she couldn't get free. And the police found her after 2 days. But she was restrained. But we don't like restraints of any sort. We sure don't like that kind. But I don't like restraints anyhow, you know. I don't like a preacher come along and say, now you can't do, yeah. You can't do this. You can't do, okay. I'll say this. 5 years ago, you wouldn't have saw me in town in a pair of shorts. Restraints. I wear shorts when I go to town now. Maybe the preacher were to put restraints and say, anyone who's a leader in this church, you can't go to town with shorts on. Okay, anyhow, restraints, you know. Sometimes we don't like them. Sometimes they're good for us. You know, if he puts them on, I'll have to weigh it and see if I think it. Safeguards. Safeguards in our life. Traveling on a hazardous road. Proverbs 13:5, the way of the transgressor is hard. Transgressions can only be protected against with the proper restraints. You know, restraining, the advantage of these restraints, do you know, in 2016 alone, talking about restraints, my sister-in-law did not like seat belts. In fact, I won't say that I like them because sometimes sitting in the back seat, I don't use them. But I looked this up this morning. The note said, it's estimated that 12,546 lives have been saved by seat belts in a year. Well, I thought, man, is that right? You know, I looked it up this morning, and I found this. In 2016, almost 15,000 lives were saved because of seat belts. However, another 2,500 could have been saved if those 2,500 would have been wearing seat belts. 15,000 in 2016 was saved, but 2,500 lost their lives. That, according to statistics, that the accident they was in, they would probably have been saved had they been wearing seat belts. Restraints. You know, sometimes we don't like them, but sometimes they're good for us. We need to restrain them from outside influences. You know, the saddest words penned in the Scripture is, "But Amnon had a friend." We need to be careful. Doug started in kindergarten early because of the language that he was picking up outside. You know, how can I spank my kid because I let him go out and play with a bunch of kids and he picks up their language? How can I spank him for using that language? So, we put him in junior kindergarten. Peer pressure has caused... Okay, I started smoking. And I have smoked in my life, I have smoked almost 3 packs a day for a period of time. And you know why I started smoking? Peer pressure. Everybody's doing it! I don't know about you guys, but that was my excuse. It's kind of sad, too. In my lifetime, I've sat in 2 bars and bought a beer and sipped that much out of the top of that beer. Peer pressure again. Peer pressure, that's all it was. I wanted to be part of the crowd. That's one of the dumbest excuses for doing the dumbest things that I believe anyone could ever have. Bob Stamper had a friend. Yeah, let's go, Bob. Come on, one night, no problem. One man said, "Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are." Tell me who your friends are, and I'll tell you who you are. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise man shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Look at what happened to Jonathan in 1 Samuel 23:16. Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. He went out there to strengthen him in God. Amnon went out there to strengthen devil's hand. Jonathan arose and went to David to strengthen him. Parents need to help their children choose their friends and those that will... While restraining a child's sin nature, outside influences can be uncomfortable for both parent and child. So we need to set up safeguards to guide the child down a path of safety instead of down the path to destruction. Teach reliance. Teach reliance. You know, that's where I said earlier. Teach reliance. I told David, I said, "Son, we'll go golfing next week." And I taught my son he couldn't rely on me because I made him that promise so many weeks in a row. "David, we'll go golfing next week." I never fulfilled it. I did finally, you know, after weeks and weeks, finally I'd take him golfing and we'd go spend a day together. But you know, that was what really got me down so bad. Because I let those things influence me. And I saw the way it influenced my son. And because I had been such a failure as a dad, what I said a few minutes ago, that was the thing that really beat me down. It beat me down bad. And if it hadn't been for that woman there, I don't know how I'd have ever pulled out of it. Because I had preachers talk to me, missionaries talk to me, I had a lot of different people. But I was beating myself up. Because here's the way I looked at it. If I teach my son he can't trust his earthly father, I'm teaching him he can't trust his heavenly father at the same time. So I let him down. And I finally just had to give it over to the Lord. I said, Lord, I did what I thought was right. I didn't even put it all together. I didn't think it through. I didn't, whatever. You know, here I am making excuses, whatever it is. Help them learn that they can trust God by learning that they can trust you. If you make them a promise, keep it. If you say, do it again, I'm going to spank you, spank them. If you say, you do this and I'll reward you, reward them. Whatever it is, teach your kids to rely on you so they can learn how to rely upon the Lord. It says, you know, we like to think we're independent. We're not independent. We go out there and get in the car. And you know what we're dependent on? Every driver that comes knows he needs to drive on the right side of the road. Because I drove on the left side so long, I have to stop and think about which side we drive on over here. But you know, we go to the bank and we rely on that teller that they're going to put that money in the right account so when I get ready for it, it'll be there. That's reliance. We like to think of how independent we are, but we really aren't. Nobody is truly independent. So who can we be dependent on? First thing, we need to rely on the only person that we can, and that's God. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Knowing that the fundamental nature of man is to sin, we need to put our reliance on the Lord. We can depend on him, but he's the only one we can depend on. You know, I'm going to skip over because I want to read a couple of verses to you. Deuteronomy 6:9. My goodness. Judges 2:7-12. You really ought to go home and read that too. You know, when the children of Israel walked through the waters and across the for 40 years, when they got there, when that generation died, the next generation that came along, they weren't walking after the Lord like that first generation were. And you know, the only reason I can come up with is because that first generation did not teach their children the edicts that the Lord had taught them in the old land of Egypt. They didn't teach those to their children. Deuteronomy 6:6. These words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen to this, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto the children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And you know what? Even now, my wife and I, we try to have devotions every day. We try to read the Bible every day. And when I say try, is because evidently we don't try often enough because we're behind. And we just can't seem to get caught up. But you know, we don't spend enough time in the Word to be grounded like we need to be. In the Old Testament, several times stones were set up that when they looked at it, it was a memorial to remind them of what they needed to do. You know, I've been called upon to ask the blessing on the food. And I start praying, and man, I hear so much commotion in the background. I say, my goodness, I don't understand how people can be so disrespectful to the Lord at a time like that. And why'd they call on me to pray for the food if they want to just continue with what they're doing? I'd just as soon pray by myself. And anyhow, that's enough about that. You know, do you understand what I'm saying, though? I don't understand these things. Memorials pointed to the greatness of the God of Israel, and parents were to point their children to these memorials to remind them that they could rely upon the Lord, and we need to rely upon the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15, "And from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Deuteronomy 6:7 commanded parents to teach their children the words of God. Isaiah 55, "As the rain cometh down and snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, and it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it." Amen. All we have to do, I can't witness. Can you tell someone how you got saved? Can you tell them, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son? There's so much we can do if we're willing to, but you know what? We need to rely upon God. I'm going to close with this one. There was a bunch of men one time, and there was a bird's nest, and they wanted to see the eggs in that nest. And they couldn't figure out how to get them out. So a young boy was walking up the road and holding hands with his dad, and they hollered down to the kid. He said, "Hey, kid, come up here. We'll hold a rope and we'll let you down so you can get those eggs out because we'd like to see them." And the kid stopped for a minute, just a little boy. He said, "The only way I'll do it is if my daddy holds a rope." He trusted his daddy to hold the rope. He didn't know those other people, and he wouldn't trust them to hold the rope. But he says, "If my daddy holds the rope, I'll do it." You know, that's what we need to be. The kind of people that our neighbors would say, "There's only one way I'll do it. I trust Bob Stamper over there. He lives over there in the church. Yeah, I trust him if he'll hold the rope. Yeah, I trust him if he'll hold the rope." You know, there's so much. That's the last message I remember my son preaching in Kenya. Who will hold the rope when they let Paul out the window? Who will hold the rope? You know, someone needs to hold the rope, and every one of us needs to hold the rope. Thank you for being here, and I'm not scolding you. You know, I like the lesson. I only know how to teach it one way, so if I offended you because you felt like I was preaching at you, I wasn't. Thank you for being here. Father, bless us as we get ready for the morning worship service. Be with the pastor, that he'd bring the word to us in a way that we could understand it. And if one would be lost today as they hear him preach, Lord, let it speak to their heart that they'd be convicted of their sins and receive you as Savior. Father, bless us as we prepare to worship you in Christ's name. Amen. You have 7 minutes. Sorry about that.